when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for tuning in. I'd like to say one more time, I'm so glad to be back. That was one hell of a bug I had. I'm not kidding you. It was really rough. But even though I had that bug, I did a lot of work. In fact, we raised about $25,000 through St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. That's just for the New York marathons. That doesn't count what we had to pay for Nashville and Memphis. That's $750 piece there. So over a period of years, I've lost count of how much we raised for Memphis and Nashville. But before we go to our guests, and I'll tell you who they are in just a second. I announced them on the first hour. We're going to announce them again. I was going to say, almost lost my train of thought there, but sent out a special prayer for Dr. David Duke. I just call him Dave. I've known him so long since I don't even know if he was 20 years old when I first met him. He's in a bad shape right now. I'm not going to say what he's facing the law, trouble of the law, et cetera, medicine, whatever. He might not want me to. I talked to him today. It's the first time I talked to him in a long, long time. And I didn't even know he was in that situation. But if you will keep David Duke in your prayers. Also, I'd like to throw out a shout out to Frank Hoate up there north of the Mason-Dixon line. He's a Yankee, but boy, he's a good Yankee. He's one of those Yankees that's of one accord, like us, like we are, like they were in the upper room. I know Matt will know what I'm talking about the upper room. And also Jim in Washington State and Pam and Dennis in Virginia and also Ken in New York. I'd like to thank y'all so much. Didn't donate this week, you know what? But thank you 1,000 times. For keeping us on the air. We could not make it without y'all. Oh, and I almost forgot. We sold one dark medicine book. We sold it to Harold over in Jonesboro. So if anybody would like one, Jason Robb, he's the attorney for the Knights Council over there, the Ku Klux Klan over at Arkansas. He's given us a bunch of these books. He said they had a donor anonymous donor, contributed money just to get these books distributed. He sent us some. He said all the ones that we sell or we ask for donations, Blood River Radio can keep the money. That's the anonymous donor's way of getting two birds with one stone, publishing Jason Robb's book, and also getting the money into Blood River Radio's hands. So much for that. People, now you pretty much heard the last of me for the show. It's going to be my baby sister, my precious little sister, Monica, the Braveheart Schaefer. She's on this hour. And we also brought my friend. He was one of the founding members of Blood River Radio. He was one of our original co-hosts. His name is Matt the Mo Goodwin. He's going to be on with us tonight, giving a special report about the tragedy in North Carolina, because he has relatives up there, and that's all I'm going to say. So we always do ladies first, even though she's tough as nails and a warrior, she's still a lady, and so we bring her on first. How are you doing tonight, Sister Braveheart?
Hello, Eddie. I'm doing very well, and I am really, really glad that you are back and you are sounding good. You're sounding strong and in good spirits and good health, so I am so glad for that. And I'm really happy that Matt Goodwin is on and that he would like to talk a little bit about what's going on with the flooding in North Carolina, the Appalachian Mountains. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I just can't stop thinking about that. I, even though I know relatively little about, you know, that area, I feel connected through some of the traditions, the music, because I play some music that comes from that area, and I know that they are, you know, independent, strong mountain people. They've always had a you know, strong independent spirit, and I just am really feeling very, very devastated about what's going on there. And I personally have my thoughts, and we can talk about that a little bit later after Matt comes on, but, you know, about sort of the storm that was, in my view, engineered, and, you know, a targeted attack. But anyway, I want to hand it back to you, Eddie, or if you want to go straight to Matt, I'm not sure. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sister Braveheart. And you are, as far as I'm concerned, closer than a blood sister. And I'd just like to say once again, without Matt the Mo Goodwin, there would be no Blood River Radio. It took a lot. It took one hell of a lot to get this program on the ground. It took a lot of money, which Matt contributed a lot of money and a lot of work. We also had Jacob Tyler on, and he did a lot of good work for us too. He really did. He's married now in South America. But anyway, Matt the Mo, how good it is to have you back on. I saw you up in Greenville, South Carolina back in, what was it, May, I believe it was. But I saw you and your precious wife. That was so wonderful.
And, That's right. It was wonderful. Thank you for having me on. It's a privilege to be on with Monica Schaefer talking about this disaster, because, and it's appropriate because they just recently came through a national disaster as well. The wildfires, and
maybe we can
compare notes on the emergency response to this type of situation.
Oh, yes.
But you can see that these kinds of things are actually linked together in many ways. But first, I want to say, Eddie, it's glad to have you back. I'm so happy that you're back on the air. People don't realize how much labor goes into each and every show that Eddie puts in, and he deserves a break every once in a while, and he took that, rightfully so. So I was really thankful that he took, he called me, I don't know, about 2 months ago, was just telling me all the stuff he had piling up to do. And I said, well, Eddie, just take a break.
Yes.
Everybody can just put something down for a little bit. But I know, Eddie, that you're ready. You're gnashing at the teeth, ready to bite the heads of our enemies again.
You got that right.
And I am too. I'm glad to be back on. So I'm the perfect person to talk loosely about some of the events surrounding this hurricane, because I have family in Pensacola, I have family in North Carolina, and I have family throughout different regions in North Carolina. So fortunately, I'm proud to say that none of my family, or I'm really blessed to say, I should say, that none of my family or friends were really set back by this a lot.
Oh, Matt. Let me interrupt just for a second, because you know what? I cannot believe I forgot this. The people who are carrying Blood River Radio right now, Jay, Little Lizzie, a.k.a. Miss Teenage America, they were right in the heart of that. I so apologize for not mentioning that. And they came through. They lost a lot of property. Jay, Miss Lizzie, a.k.a. Miss Teenage America. I've nicknamed everybody. Matt the Mole, Monica Braveheart. They came through, and it was pretty scary. But Lizzie told me today she was never afraid, because she said she trusted in God. I tell you, I have trust some, but I tell you, I think the bombardier would have been kind of nervous down there. But I thank God that they came through it. And you know what? We didn't know until a couple of days ago that we were going to have a program, because it tore up. It just it annihilated the electrical systems down there, the telephone poles, the lines, the internet, everything. And Jay being – I'm not kidding you – Jay, I think, is a genius, and he has schooled his kids all too well. But I'm sorry I forgot that, and I'm sorry I had to interrupt you to tell that. And people, if you will, say prayers. Thank God that he spared Biscuit, and he spared Jay and his whole family. So back to you, Matt.
So my family was spared, and we're really blessed that they were spared. And also, no friends of mine that I knew of down there were in too much of a disaster situation. But a lot of my family wasn't specifically in the mountains. I did have some in the mountains, and they were the ones who were most affected. And I'll get into their story. But also, I'm a perfect person to talk about this because I put an extensive amount of time over the road truck driving. And during that time period, I did deliver to a FEMA assembly point. And I later in the broadcast, I'll talk about that and my experience with that. So to give the audience a little bit of a perspective and a little bio on me about why I should be even talking about this stuff. So I started getting calls.
Well, I see you heard the music.
Gotta go to work.
First break of the second hour. We'll be right back. We'll go right back to Matthew Mole. He's going to tell us all about the FEMA and the big hurricane. Be right back, folks.
River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Well, dear Blood Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. And I'd just like to say, I hope this is the last I have to say to the end of this hour, because we got two great people to run the rest of this hour. So go ahead, Matt the Mole.
So, when I first started hearing about the hurricane, a lot of my family were calling me asking if we were okay. I live over in Nashville area, and I really hadn't been paying too much attention to the weather, but I was like, what are you talking about? And I didn't realize how large this storm was, because I was reading about it making landfall, and they're already asking us if we're okay in Nashville. Well, apparently the storm was so large, they said it was from like band to band, it was like hundreds of miles long, and it covered a very large area. So it didn't bode well for people as far as flooding goes when this thing sits over you. But as far as I was concerned, we were fine. And I said, okay, well, we've actually had a serious drought, so I welcome any rain that's coming. But then the next day came, and this was the day after everything hit in North Carolina, and I had no clue that a lot of my family had suffered through the day before. I had no clue all that was going on. I got a call from my parents. They said that they were fine, but a tree snapped. They think like a mini twister came down and literally just broke this tree in half, but it went the opposite direction, didn't land on any infrastructure, and they were safe. talked to a friend of mine. His neighbor had a tree limb come down. He sent me a picture, and this tree limb hit this person's rooftop. And I sent a message back. I said, well, that picture, it just looks like a tree branch. He said it was, but it put a car-sized hole through his roof. And my friend went over to help him cut it out of his house and patch it up, I guess. So these are just a couple of stories. Ironically, they said that this hurricane was coming, approaching landfall around the Big Bend area of Florida. Well, I have family down in Florida, in around Pensacola area specifically, and they didn't even get a drop of rain from this thing. I was blown away by this. How does this thing go right by Pensacola, and they didn't even hardly get anything? They didn't even get rain, and then it did as much damage as it did through Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. It's definitely the largest hurricane we've seen hit North Carolina in a long time. There's been some that have hit the coast since Hurricane Hugo, but when I was a kid, we had the famous Hurricane Hugo that came through and hit our town. And I do remember that vividly as a child. So these things were coming back to my mind. Now, the mountain people, Monica said it right, the mountain people are very resilient and very, it's a hard life. It's not an area that infrastructure can easily be built, and a lot of infrastructure is down in the valleys right by rivers. And you've got a lot of rivers that cut channels through the mountains, these streams. So a lot of mountain communities pop up everywhere, all through these areas. But some of these mountain communities get very used to sometimes, every once in a while, such a rainfall that a building here and there gets washed away. It's the people are tough, the people are resilient, but understand that what they've experienced now is something on the scale of like almost warfare, as in it was purposely done. That's not my opinion, but that this thing is almost like bombs were just dropped everywhere. Now there were whole communities that are now just wiped off the map. One particular one that we always loved to go to was like Chimney Rock, Lake Lure area. That was, you know, about an hour and a half from us. We would drive up there, and it was a nice community. You could sit, enjoy the mountainsides, enjoy the views, have an ice cream there. They had like a little ice cream shop. That place absolutely got washed away, and there's just not much left there. Chimney Rock, that was Chimney Rock. Lake Lure, and Chimney Rock is the place where, by the way, Braveheart was filmed. Not Braveheart, I'm sorry, The Last of the Mohicans. With Daniel Day-Lewis. So a lot of the scenes in that movie are from Chimney Rock, Lake Lure area. So if you're familiar with that movie, you can place that kind of picture in your mind. But these areas are now just washed away and gone, and a lot of the people are missing. And I have a feeling that a lot of these missing people are unfortunately just perished and deceased. So the mountainside... and a lot of the pictures you see a lot of just total destruction. When I was over the road truck driving, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. I remember getting one load that had me going to Mississippi, and I was supposed to go to a FEMA assembly camp. And I got there, and it was a huge open, it was an open area. I won't say what exactly, but it had like three lines of semi trucks, and they were like, just they're all going to the same place, just getting any line. Okay. Now, each line was moving slow, but one truck at a time, I nudged my way up. But I'm going to estimate hundreds of trucks, hundreds on these like three or four lines. I finally nudged my way up to the top of the line, and they say, all right, you've got this product, just follow the people, they're going to wave you to a parking spot. Or you drop your trailer. That's like, kind of like at a football game or a ball game or something. All right, we're just going to wave you in and you park here. All right. Hundreds and hundreds of parked trailers of supplies and gear for FEMA. And my curiosity is, where did all of that stuff go?
Yes. Okay?
Where in the world, and what are they doing with our money and our tax money? Where is that stuff going? Because it is apparently not making it to the people that desperately need it right now. So my question, Eddie, are they sending that off to Israel or Ukraine Are they sending that to, you know, help their wars around the world? So what are they doing with those supplies? It was a large area. And this is one of many, y'all. This isn't one FEMA camp for the nation. This is probably one of, you know, dozens. Anyway, so I'm going to kick it back to Monica and ask her, if anything like this, when the Canadian wildfires, did y'all have an emergency response set up and the people were not getting emergency aid or what?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. There's a lot of strange things going on in these fires, the situations. I mean, the one that's closest to me and to my affairs, I guess you could say, because I lived there for 37 years, that's the Jasper fire that took place this year. I did go visit in mid-September. I saw a lot of these crews around who were cleaning crews, deep cleaning crews, because those homes that did not burn down, their insurance will pay for the deep cleaning. And while the deep cleaning occurs, the homeowners have to leave their homes and they cannot go into their homes, not even at night. And this deep cleaning can take a few weeks. And then these crews, they were consisting of a lot of people that were just completely fresh off the boat from Africa, I would say. They were like black as tar people, and, you know, some white folks too, probably they would be the crew leaders, I don't know. But they were from away, I mean, Canadians, but, well, from these new people were not Canadians, but you know what I'm saying. They were not from Jasper, even though there's lots of unemployed Jasperites hanging around because the tourism industry is not up and running because of this recent fire. It's a very strange situation. Now, why are the homeowners not allowed into their homes while the deep cleaning goes on, not even at night? They are not allowed. What is going on with that? I wonder.
Let me interject something here.
Yeah,
Ray Cooper, the governor of North Carolina, issued a edict in North Carolina that people could not travel through the mountains now except if you're emergency personnel or... And I don't know how much they're enforcing this, but if you're even the way I'm understanding it, and when I was reading it on their website, it looks like even if I am going to help my relatives over there, then I'm not allowed to go through the roads over there.
Right.
And to go through the state roads.
That's right. They are not allowing people to basically help each other. I mean, this was clear last year, 2023, in the fires around Kelowna in the, you know, in that area of British Columbia, Okanagan Valley. There were some fires, and there they were doing things similar as they did in Lahaina. Was it the year before? I can't remember the dates now exactly, but where they were just not allowing people to come in to help. They were not allowing citizens' initiatives to take place. And, you know, in some cases, water turned off, this and that. Like, just really nonsense, like things that make no sense unless you start to understand that the government is the enemy of the people. And this is what I've been saying for quite some time now, is that the government, our governments, are the enemy of the people. They are not, as the mantra that we learned when we were children over and over and over, we heard the government is of the people, by the people, for the people. No, it is not the case. It turns out that the government representatives and those who are, you know, working in government, they are the puppets who are being played like by the puppeteers, the hidden hand, who are pulling and maneuvering all the puppet strings, right? So once you understand that the government is the enemy of the people, but let's understand that it's the hidden hand, and we know who they are. But Eddie, you did tell me we're not allowed to name.
Oh no,
you said something about not naming
no.
the Jews.
No, I've just joined the Jared Taylor Club, and I was promised that Jared Taylor would never name the Jew. We just always blame everything else but the Jew. So, folks, we'll be right back
just
after this quick break, folks.
Yeah.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Everyday aches and pains is to mask them. You know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. It's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number for relief. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
A man in Western Australia has been found guilty after he tied the hands of three children who had trespassed on his property.
Mr. Radlick's lawyers said he made a lawful citizen's arrest. Prosecutors argued his actions were dehumanizing. He'd been charged with three counts of aggravated assault. He was found guilty of two of the charges and acquitted of the third because the eldest child had managed to break free and escape and so had been restrained for a shorter period of time. Mr. Radlick was also handed down a fine of $1,368.
Thousands of pilgrims have joined an annual gathering to mark the Jewish New Year in the central Ukrainian town of Yaman. Despite the war going on, Yaman is transformed for the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. Streets are plastered with signs in Hebrew for the pilgrims who come to pray. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. Correspondent John Scott says that settlement checks related to Norfolk Southern's disastrous derailment may be delayed.
The checks could be pushed back up to 2 years now because an appeal of a federal judge's decision to approve the $600 million deal has been filed. Many residents of East Palestine, Ohio, expressed outrage online about the appeal because it will delay the payments they had been counting on to help them recover from the toxic train crash that disrupted their lives when it spewed hazardous chemicals into their community. Some had planned to use the money to relocate. John Scott reporting.
Dentists say unlicensed practitioners who offer cheap dental veneers are putting patients at risk. Dental veneers customize teeth coverings that can restore a photogenic smile without more extensive work, but the pros say that is misleading, not to mention illegal. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, oh, time is money. We have very short, very little time, very little money. Two quick questions, and our people will answer it in order. Our dear precious people, our precious little baby brother, Matt the Mo, and my baby sister, Monica the Braveheart. I asked Matt during the break, I was going to kick back to Lindsey Graham. He said, make this fast, he said that where the hell all those thousands of tons of supplies going? We talked about hundreds and hundreds of trucks being parked at these FEMA centers. Well, I would kick back. Maybe we should ask Lindsey Graham, who said he cared more about his Israeli allies than he did the people in the United States who are suffering hurricane damage. Maybe we should ask J.D. Vance, who said he believes in America first, except for Israel. And maybe we should ask ex-President Trump when he said that Israel is the greatest nation in the world. And I was going to ask Matt, who is enforcing the no-travel laws through the mountains of the Appalachia, if they are, in fact, being enforced. We need to find that out. Who is actually enforcing it? And we also would need to ask Sister Monica Braveheart. She said she heard about the helicopter pilot trying to get food into some of these people and being threatened with arrest. I'm hearing the same thing over and over and over. I heard just today amongst many, many, many different people complaining about FEMA. The truck drivers would be almost within eyesight, with earshot of the people needing the food. And the FEMA, the Fed representatives, turning them away, said, oh, no, you have to go to our FEMA distribution center. And then they send them on wild goose chases. They can't find the damn FEMA centers. They can look them, and they try to ask the officials, where are the FEMA centers? They give them these wild goose instructions.
How about I'll just chime in here, Eddie?
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to ask you. Yeah, I was going to say you... Please, take off.
I'll just be brief. When we were talking during the break about all these people who are trying to help, whether it's helicopter pilot or, like Matt was talking about, truck drivers and people being turned back, and this happens over and over and over again. Well, I was just reminded about the German people who were shot for trying to reach food through the fence to the prisoners who were renamed from being POWs, prisoners of war, to DECs, disarmed enemy combatants, in those open air fields just surrounded by barbed wire fence, and where they were given starvation diet, where many, 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 many died. So some of the German people in the villages around tried to bring food, but the soldiers were ordered to shoot them. Like, they were not allowed. So, okay, we're in a war. We recognize we are in a war. So this is the same thing, is it not?
I think so.
These people in a power trip situation, these people in positions of power, like Cooper, they make these rules. And, yes, Eddie, you asked the $1 million question. I want to know who's enforcing it, or is it even being enforced? But I guess that's irrelevant, because the fact that they even put pen to paper to write this down makes them complicit in a scheme that is just warfare against us, in my opinion. We can't take this, y'all. We absolutely cannot take this. And as far as my part, I don't care. I'm going to be driving to my family in their time of need. It doesn't matter if they tell me I can't. So we've got to take that kind of stand with these people, because they are out to see us dead by standing on their own little power trip and standing on their own little pinnacle of power. But anyway, I saw tons and tons of trailers, FEMA assistance assembly zone, and I landed a trailer there, and there were hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of semi-truck trailers. Where is that stuff going? Eddie, do you think they're possibly shipping it out to their war machine?
Eddie's gone now.
I guess he is. Yeah. You think?
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all. I forgot to unmute myself. Yeah. I forgot to unmute myself. Yes, I think it's a great possibility, Matt. I think it's going to multiple places. For instance, like Haiti, and probably the vast majority of it going to Israel in the Mideast. And God only knows where. Another possibility, I've been hearing for years and years and years that they have these like underground cities. There's one of them up there near the Denver, that new airport they have up there, that they're stocking up these underground cities for the elite, that when hell breaks loose and maybe we get nuked by the Russians, that they'll be able to live under there for years with food and supplies, stuff like that. But
the important thing, sorry to interrupt, Eddie.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
The thing is, they're preventing it from reaching the people. So again, the government is at war with the people.
Yes.
So that is the key point here.
One thing I'd say to the audience, there's a popular YouTuber that I like. I'm not going to say his name on here, but I really do enjoy listening to him. And one thing he says over and over and over is, you are going to be alone in these situations. And I think a lot of people in North Carolina had their eyes burst forth with light wide open when they realized that we're alone here. It's just me and my neighbors. And so that's pretty much where they're at. FEMA, I've heard reports that FEMA is talking about giving a $750 check. But the funny thing about that is they want them to, I think, go online and do something. Well, these people are all without power. And in fact, some of the so hey, when you need help, the government's an hour away, right? So don't worry.
That's right.
But I mean,
I saw reports and saw images and saw reports that the people in North Carolina were just getting right to work with their own excavators and graders and just fixing the roads, and they were getting to work and doing that right away. And then the government steps in and disallows that. Now, okay, so this is the point at which we, the people, we just have to say, no, we're not going to listen to you. You have no legitimacy. Remember, you work for us. We are not your slaves or whatever. And then just do it. And people have to, like you always say, Eddie, we have to have the might behind it. I mean, I was telling you in the break, I've come a long way from when I was a libtard and thought guns were, they're bad, just for like what they've indoctrinated us with. And that was when I was still upside down in the upside down world. And please don't hold that against me. But I did come around, and now I just think, okay, people just take back the power. And I don't mean, like, I just mean do what you need to do. And then if some government agent or official comes along and forbids you to do it, ignore them. And if you do need to use power, brute force against them, then I guess that's what it comes to, because they are trying to kill us. They are trying to kill us. So what's left for us? What is left for us to do than to actively resist their tyranny? Okay, back to you.
Well, I would say they often couple this with, we're keeping this for emergency personnel who are professional and can handle these situations. But on the magnitude of the victims and people that have needs, there's no way they have enough emergency personnel to help all these people. Don't believe this, for one, and people just need to ignore tyranny that says, don't go help your family. You can't travel down this road. You have to ignore this tyranny and just go do it. I had family in Morganton, and they got hit the hardest of anyone in my family. And they had a tree come down across their deck in their backyard, and I think in their house, like even hit their house. But they said they survived the storm by spending the night or the day, the portion of the storm, under their stairs. Now, that's how scared these people were. And the flood waters came up and everything. And these people had a disaster, a natural disaster. And on the other side of it, they've got their supposed so-called government telling them that we're going to take care of you. And they're trying to keep all the people that are actually trying to take care of them away. I think it's treachery, and it's a war crime, really, to me. It's just war against us, really. That's what it is. Monica, you've nailed it. You've got it right. This is an act of war. So
yeah,
I don't take this stuff lightly.
No, that's right. We are in a war. You know, in Bolshevik times, they were playing the same game but different methods. They tortured and shot people and you know, just dragged them out of their homes in the middle of the night. Well, here we are in sort of Bolshevik 2.0 times, but they are using different methods. And I think the weather warfare is one. Now, I'll just respectfully disagree with what you said earlier, Matt, about this being on purpose. I do believe that these extreme events, weather events, are done to us through their geoengineering with all the chemtrails and their energy weapons that they have, like HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, and the things we see in the skies. I never saw those things when I was a child, and I was always a big cloud gazer. I was a sky gazer all my life, even, you know, well before I woke up to anything and was sort of looking for these things. No, I gazed at the sky a lot, and this is weather warfare, in my opinion anyways. But, you know, so I think that's all part of it right now, the weather warfare. Okay, I guess we have the music.
Yeah, I guess we go to our last break, second hour. It's going too fast. Be right back, people. Go get you some coffee.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. I can't believe this is the last segment. A quick comment, what our dear people have been saying. There's an excellent book on Miss Braveheart Monica Shaper's website, cruising, and we'll get her to give you information how to go there, called Other Losses. She mentioned how horrible the Allies treated the Germans at the end of the war. There were more people slaughtered, more German people slaughtered after the shooting stopped than there was during the actual war. Go to her website. We'll give you that information. Also, FEMA says they're running out of money. They spent $650 million bringing these non-white people, invaders, into the country. But you know what? They said they have no money left, but I was going to say, they sure as hell are not running out of time and money in planes and diesel fuel to bring tens of thousands of Haitians and non-white people to the country. Now, I just want to throw that out there. Now, we're going to go to Sister Braveheart, and she's got a special topic that she wants to talk about. Go ahead, yeah. Sister Braveheart.
Or also, we don't run out of money to send over to the, you know, to the Ukraine or to Israel, right, Eddie?
So, that's for true. That's for
that's
true.
That's the other thing. But also, I just wanted to mention that Matt and I are pretty much on the same page with regards to geoengineering. We were just finishing talking about that in the break, but just that none of us is certain that this particular storm was caused that way. Of course not. And I agree. We're on the same page on that. Anyway, I just wanted to say that, I've been prostrate all week for just to honor this National Truth and Reconciliation Day that we had in Canada on September 30th, where it's a new holiday now where people are, they don't go to school and banks are closed. September 30th every year, since about 4 or 5 years now that they've got this new thing. And I am make it perfectly clear, I was being sarcastic. I was not prostrate to this Truth and Reconciliation Day. What this is about is the Aboriginal people, the Native people, so-called Native people here, to the Canadian Indians, I guess you could say, that they have been going on and on and on about the unmarked graves that started in May of 2021. It made a big story all over the world, and it turned into mass graves of children who were murdered at the residential schools, and on it went. Now, this is a big topic, and I did dedicate one of my shows, episode 7 of The Flip Side with Monica, over on the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you wanted to check that out, you could listen to that. Go to the archives at republicbroadcasting.org. But anyway, to make it short here, they have done nothing but lying to us about the treatment of the children at the residential schools. And it has all the parallels with the Holocaust narrative. There has even been a private member's bill tabled in the House of Commons recently to make residential school denialism an offense, where you can go to jail if you question their narrative. Now, where have we seen this before? What is the single other story that you can go to jail for disagreeing with their narrative about? And that would be the Holocaust. And there, I can tell you, that we can list parallel after parallel after parallel. Like, for example, we can't dig up these graves to investigate because that would be disrespectful. Same thing with the we can't question the 6 million number, the magical 6 million number, because that would be disrespectful to the memory of the dead, right? The same kind of things are being trotted out with this. And if any of these so-called survivors say that, actually they had a good schooling and there was no abuse at the school that they were at, maybe there was abuse at some other schools, but there was no abuse that they saw, and they are really glad for their schooling and they are doing really well in life, thank you very much, because of that schooling, they are shut down right away. And we're talking about Indians who say that. They, you don't hear about them in the mainstream media. No, you only hear 24/7 nonstop, wall to wall, about the abuse that they suffered at the schools, and it was a genocidal time in Canadian history. They don't tell us that actually there were Indian bands who lobbied the federal government to keep the schools open when they were being shut down gradually from, they were being shut down and starting maybe in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I think the last one shut down in the 1990s. Well, there were Indian bands who lobbied the government, no, please keep them open. Now, would they do that if these places were genocidal? Are they crazy? Are they suicidal? But now it's wall to wall that we're so bad. And, teachers will get fired, or I'll give you an example, or canceled or whatever. There was a, let me just read this. There was in PEI, a school counselor, I think it was a counselor, or maybe it was a city counselor. He was suspended because of a lawn sign. And on his lawn sign, it read, and this is on his private property, remember, this is a lawn sign. It said, truth-mass grave hoax, and then reconciliation-redeem Sir John A's integrity. So that's Sir John A. Macdonald. Redeem his integrity. That's the Canada's first prime minister, in case you don't know. So he was suspended. Who else was pressured to step down? Maybe he wasn't suspended, but the mayor of Quesnel, a town in BC, because his wife bought this book. It's called Grave Error, and it has many authors in it. And his wife bought that book and thought it was a good book. And so she was promoting that book. And so her husband, who was the mayor of that town, he was put under tremendous pressure to step down. I mean, just a book. We're talking about his wife who promoted a book that she thought was really good. Now, this book has a lot of documentation in it that, and I read the book cover to cover, made lots of notes in it, because I'm telling you, it's a really good read. And sometimes the authors will make comparisons with the Nazis in a way that I don't like, but then I thought, no, I'll take this to our advantage and say, yeah, they're drawing parallels, but sort of in a different way. They're drawing a parallel. I'll just draw the parallels to how they constructed the Holocaust narrative, lied to us about that, criminalized us for questioning their story, and they are doing the same thing with this. Now, do you think it's about promoting the Indians, or do you think it's about being, or about pushing the European Canadian people down, the Caucasian people, you know, the white people down? Do you think it's about dispossessing us of our lands, possibly? Which do you think that might be, either of you?
I think that's right on. I'd like to chime in. You talked about the people paying the price for what I would call freedom of speech. I'll make this quick. There was an excellent article on Zero Hedge. It says, the First Amendment, John Kerry says the quiet part out loud. The First Amendment stands as a major block to govern. It says right here, the World Economic Forum held its Sustainable Development Impact meeting during last week's at the United Nations General Assembly in New York, last week being September 30th. He said that John Kerry, he was a former senator and supposed to be, you know, this elite sailor in Vietnam, and found out he was a damn liar. But he expressed frustration to his fellow globalists, stating that the First Amendment frequently obstructs their agenda. Well, what the hell? And that goes along with the mayor's wife you just got through talking about, Sister Braveheart, about she's going to jail for just exercising, I mean, being, you know.
No, let me correct that. She's not going to jail. I mean, her husband, who is the mayor, was pressured to step down from his position as mayor just because his wife liked the book.
The hell with the First Amendment. The hell with free speech. Back to you, Matt.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, is suppress the European population down. And they do it through all and every means necessary. They get the camel gets his nose under the tent with these kind of laws that you're saying, Monica. They first want to criminalize any type of rational thought against it. And then the teeth come and start adding real hard time with things. So I would think you would find a very similar thing that happened in the Soviet Union after the Stalin regime took over. And these people, they like to use the rule of law and their force to force us into their belief system. But their belief system is going to crumble. That's the good news, Monica. This truth has to stand on its own. And eventually, I was listening to a very normie broadcast the other day. It was the famous Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs. I like him, but he's still pretty normie on a lot of accounts. And he was saying, a lot of what we see going on is the kids shouting the emperor has no clothes.
Very good.
He said, I'll quote, that little bastard may have something right there. He may be onto something. So a lot of people are waking up about this. The gig is up. And just like Adolf Hitler said in Mein Kampf, I love this quote. He said, when the mask comes off and you see all you see staring back at you is an ape-like grinning face, these people are going to be disillusioned by their own utopia that they supposedly create and help build. A lot of people in North Carolina, to round it full circle back to that, some of my family is, and they're not all hardcore right, let me just say it like that, but I think some of them even had their eyes wide open by the situation. And they even said, let's talk about survival for a minute. They said that they were helpless until their cell phones came back on. They felt helpless. So people need to wake up.
Run completely out of the hour. I'd like to chime in. Also, our beloved Adolf Hitler, our Fuhrer, said that when freedom dies, the best meet in prison. Also, I'm going to ask you two people questions by the last 2 seconds. Do you think the same bloodline, the same people behind all this crap, Soviet Union, the 20s and 30s, Canada, here, I think it's the same people. I think it's the same poison as well, to quote Monica. Thank y'all so much for hanging out. Thank y'all so much for coming on, Matt.
Well, poisoners. Thanks, Eddie. Matt. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Thanks, hey, Matt, hang on with the third hour if you want to. People, we are going to transition to the third hour. We're bringing a new guest on. It's been a long time since he's been on. He's a very unique person. I think you'll find him very interesting. We'll be back. Go take your quick break. Be right back.